Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Happy Hour Report.
Officially this time.
It's Wednesday and it feels like it.
Yes. Well, we have a very special guest here with us today, Jamie. She's lovely and we're very excited to discuss some topics with you. Ashley, would you like to introduce those for us?
I would love to, DJ T-Tuffs. On this week's show, we're discussing the SNC-Lavin scandal, Ilhan Omar, and the latest Kardashian scandal, along with our special guest that we just introduced, Jamie. Can you give a little hello?
Hello, everyone!
So, Taryn, do you want to get us started here?
Yes. So, you may have been seeing some drama coming out of the capital of Canada this time. Usually we talk about the drama happening in the States, but we're holding our own country accountable too here on the Happy Hour Report.
We make mistakes too.
We're all garbage. So anyways, currently there is a big scandal amongst the Prime Minister and his cabinet members and the SNC-Lavalin company. Recently, Jody Wilson-Raybould, the former Justice Minister and Minister of Veteran Affairs, announced she was resigning from Trudeau's cabinet under the allegation that the government was pressuring her to make a deal with the company. And on February 18th, Gerald Butts, who is Justin Trudeau's principal secretary and his good friend, also resigned, presuming under the pretenses of this scandal as well. And so he was testifying today, so I guess we can't really speak to what he said there because it's kind of ongoing at the moment. But we just wanted to give a little history about the scandal in the first place. So in 2015, the RCMP charged SNC-Lavalin, which is a large employer in Quebec. I think they talk about 9,000 employees often when they talk about this scandal. So again, yes, very big. They were charged with corruption and paying Libyan government officials nearly $48 million in bribes and defrauding other Libyan entities nearly $130 million, which, woo, that's big.
Whoa.
And so between 2001 and 2011. So from what I understand, these people, SNC-Lavalin has worked on bribes before as their company that works on infrastructure in developing countries, so like making roads and things like this. So it's all just a big old mess, I guess, is what's happening right now. And I guess the most significant update to us at this time is that Wilson-Raybould told the House of Commons Justice Committee that she was relentlessly pressured with veiled threats from Trudeau, his senior staff, the top public servant in the finance minister's office, to halt the prosecution, and she believes she was shuffled out of her justice portfolio because of her inability, or her, not her inability to cooperate, but her unwillingness to cooperate. So,
yeah.
Wow.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
And it feels, it's really sobering to hear about things like that and realize that's been going on the majority of our lives.
Yeah, like 2001, we were 5, so like this.
Yeah.
This Jane thing has
was
been
not even born yet. No, I'm kidding.
But this thing's been
culminating,
it's
interesting to just think how distracted we are by other things that go on, and I'm sure we'll talk about some more of them later in the show. But
we're guilty.
We're guilty too. We're trying to be known, but it's disheartening. Like, I feel like during the last election, Harper was really painted as a monster. I feel like it's possible to paint anyone who has been in any sort of position of power as a monster because no one can be perfect every day of the year, especially for multiple years. But it is really disheartening to hear about Trudeau and his administration being involved in this, just because, you know, that was such an exciting election to be a part of. And I mean, there's so many other scandals, so many other things that we've heard of.
For like young people, I feel like he really was the first time we had the illusion, at least, that somebody higher in power cared about like our opinions on things.
Yeah.
And like, I think the young vote really pushed him over the edge in terms of, like, voting. Mm-hmm. And this may or may not be because of the weed thing, but it doesn't matter. The point is that, like, he was speaking the language that people wanted to hear. So it is, I feel rather disappointed and kind of unnerved because I was kind of happy with, I mean, I'm not super aware of Canadian politics because you're not being beat over the head with them like you are in American politics.
Yeah.
But I felt, like, pretty more or less satisfied with what was going on. Mm-hmm. And going into an election this October, I guess.
Yeah,
it's kind of up in the air. And for me personally, I don't want a conservative government, both provincially and federally. Like, I don't think that would be good for my employment opportunities. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit, a lot of it, worried about that personally. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. Because regardless of whether, like, Justin Trudeau and his office are being, like, ethically, I can't remember the word, but they're under, like, the Ethics Commission being searched if they had,
like,
any part in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Easiest word. But anyway, regardless of whether he's guilty or not, I think, like, in some ways the damage may have been done, because for people who aren't willing to, like, look into the information and stuff, mm-hmm. whether or not he's guilty, his name's already associated with this, so it's not looking good.
It's in the headlines so people can see it, and even if they just make their decisions off the headlines, like, that's what they see. Like, it's
exactly.
Also, like, the whole thing, like, when the election mm-hmm. was happening and Stephen Harper was, like, going through his thing, even his campaigns had, like, Trudeau's name in it, mm-hmm. and, like, it wasn't the vice versa, so, like, you might have been putting, like, hate out there on him, but, like, you're still hearing his name.
Yeah.
I think
I'm scared because people,
yeah.
I don't know if people fully understand this situation, and I wasn't sure I did. I was in Ottawa a couple weeks ago, so while this was, like, still, I mean, it still is a big issue, and it was then too, so I got to see a lot of it firsthand, watch the Prime Minister get roasted in front of everyone, which is alarming. He gave us a thumbs up, though, so that was fun. But, yeah, so I feel, like, particularly interested in this story because, one, I was there, and two, because just
yeah,
politically I'm trying to be better.
Yeah.
At being less concerned what's going on in the States when there's things going on here that I should be aware of also, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, just in general, one giant shriek into the world. It'll be interesting to see. There seems to be a lot going on up there, so.
I feel like, okay, so in Canada, our last election campaign running, whatever you call it, during the last election, the length of the campaigns were, like, 75 days or 78 days. Like, it was around the same time as Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphrey's wedding, marriage. But anyways, and that was considered, like, a really, really long campaign period for Canada.
That's insane.
Versus in comparison to the States, right now, their election isn't until 2020, and they're already
discussing, yeah.
Not to, like, compare, but I think maybe we would be able to make a more informed vote if we spent more time looking into campaigns. Unfortunately, that's more time with people under a microscope for them, but fortunately, that's more time for us to kind of, like, look into what their administration wants to do and what their values are as, like, a political activist or a political politician.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would like to see more care for the environment in the upcoming election.
Yes.
I would like to see, like, ideally, okay, I'm not the biggest fan of Ford's conservative government. Like, swear to that way. Personal opinion, not an opinion of the
Radio Laureate
or the university. That is my personal opinion of where I am right now. Due to, like, the cuts to OAP, OSAP, all that stuff. A lot of things that, like, actually matter to me. But I can understand, like, the benefits of a conservative provincial government and, like, a different party for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can understand how those balance. I feel like if both are conservative, then I'm going to get more worried.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like,
what I mean.
Like, my saving grace is that it's...
Also because I feel like liberals are less good at, like, for example, in the Ontario election, Kathleen Wynne was clearly not going to win. People were too upset with her choices and this and that. But liberals still didn't do a good job of rallying behind, like, the next closest thing,
yeah.
When I think it was a clear choice that they should have rallied behind Andrea Horwath in terms of, like, their beliefs and everything.
Yeah.
But they still didn't. So I think that's kind of the problem with us having four parties too, because I think it's a good thing and brings a lot of different conversations to the table. However, I feel like we're a little bit too diehard by the party that we align with and won't
exactly.
support the next best thing. So that's what I'm worried about in the federal election, that if Justin Trudeau is guilty or his reputation is tarnished beyond repair, that I think it would be wise to rally behind. I would like the Green Party, personally, because we need to get cracking on the environment. Yeah. But the NDP, I think, would also be a very suitable option. So I hope that people who believe in social progress will rally behind somebody anyways.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me which one of those, I guess.
And
Green.
I feel like I genuinely, like, vote to whatever party's platform suits me in that moment. Like, and I think our generation is a little bit more fluid about where we place our political
power. I think so, yeah.
Like, I want a good platform. I want someone I can believe in, yes, but I understand that, like, at the end of the day, it's your platform. And if your platform doesn't serve me, like, I can't just... Like, I'm not married to any.
Like,
to any party
I remember
right
my
now.
Grandpa just camping a liberal sign on his front yard, and he brought it out every election period, regardless of, like. That's, like, interesting how the older generation is quite, like, married to a.
Married to their side, better or worse.
And I mean, as we get older, I don't know, maybe I'll gain more allegiance to one particular party. But, like, at this point, I have the time. I don't have, I have the time to look into stuff. This is the time in my life where I need to be informed. A lot of influential things are happening. But, yeah, I hope that this upcoming election, I know I'm going to actively make an effort to make the time to understand what's going on a little bit more.
I agree.
I'd like to see more of them working together, because I know each party has a lot of pros and cons to each one, but each of them have, I find at least, have at least one part of their platform that I'm like, that needs to be done now. And I was agreeing with the Green Party thing, like, yeah, they don't have a lot of things, but, like, they're still focused on the one thing, because you can argue politics both sides, liberal, conservative, till you're blue in the face, but if we don't have a planet, how do we run it?
Yeah. Exactly. And Elizabeth May, we met her while I was in Ottawa. She is dynamic. Like, she is a woman. She's running to every committee meeting because of, like, the ratio of seats in the House of Commons to who gets say on a committee. She's only allowed to speak if somebody gives her their time or they all vote unanimously to let her speak. And so she or people from her office are running to each committee to voice their concerns or, like, advocate for their things. And I think that's amazing. Phenomenal. But she should not have to, like... She shouldn't be busting her ass, like, four times as much as everyone else just to get the bare minimum. So I think the Green Party is really slept on, and I think we need to really get our shit together.
We don't have a two-party system. Like, we're not... Like, we have multiple parties. I mean, a lot of people do, like, consider the NDP. I think we've got some really phenomenal NDP representatives in this area, and, like, it is an absolute, like, shame to not give them the attention that they deserve. Like, just off the top of my head, like, I know Laura May Lindo. She's, like, doing wonderful work. Catherine Fife, also doing wonderful work. Recently met, I don't know if he is a part of the NDP yet, but, like, his name is Andrew Monoga. I don't know. Follow him on Twitter. I'll look that up in the break or something. But he's also a wonderful NDP. There's so many different parties, so many different options, so many different platforms. Like, read up. You can take, like, little tests that tell you which one you're most aligned with, and then just read up the one, like, that you're most aligned with. But, like, we need to care more in this upcoming election than we did in the provincial one.
Yes, indeed.
Because if we don't, like, we're not going to get to everybody. Like, if you keep voting for, like, the one, like, the rich will look after the rich, and there's, like, more of our population than the 1%.
Yeah.
We need unity in our politics more than anything. I think, like, people should be working towards a common goal, even if it's not their party leading the charge, so to speak. Which
they're way too busy fighting each other than to make
it's
any
all
good
a spectacle.
Changes.
Like, when I was there, I was so disheartened by the lack of work getting done. Just in general, it's like, these people are spending so much time, like, beefing each other, they're not actually, like, solving their issues. So hopefully we can put that behind us and...
Yeah, unity on the issues, but diversity on the perspectives that are addressing them.
No, exactly.
Because, like, everyone can address the environment as an issue. The Conservative Party, if they wanted to, they could address the environment issue.
It doesn't have to be green. Like, you don't have to stick to, like, your few core beliefs. You can stretch out and, like, cover more bases.
But we shouldn't sleep on the Green Party.
The paper.
Word.
Yeah, very important point. I think both of you were, like, completely right. We don't need to sleep on the Green Party. I would love to see more representation of them in the upcoming
Elizabeth
elections.
May needs help, y'all. She's busy.
Our planet needs help.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I could literally talk about this forever, but maybe we should
we'll
boot scoot and boogie into the next one. Do you want to play a song? Do you want to chat some more?
We can keep chatting, I think.
Yeah, okay, cool.
The song was intended for ending that conversation on a certain note, and I didn't quite follow through, so we can just
move on.
It was more just like, this is bad, real bad. Like, we ended it on a positive note, so we don't need to have that energy going.
Wow, we really, like, resolved that.
Look at us, three women in a room.
We turned the light on this week, so...
We got more done than the government.
Yeah, if you could, like, see what we look like most weeks, it's usually us, like, panting because it's so warm in here, and then I forget to turn the light on into, like, literally the last song, and I'm like, oh, I should turn this on. But it's kind of still sunny outside a little bit.
Not yeah, sunny, days but are not getting dark. Longer. Seasonal depression is quaking.
I'm about to go back to the dark cave that it lives in for 3 months, or 3 seasons of the year. Woo! Well, next topic...
I know we said we weren't going to talk as much about the situation in the States, but we're gonna, because, obviously. So...
Because who do you think you're listening to? It's our show.
It's us.
Not yours.
And not yours.
So, the next topic we have to discuss is Ilhan Omar, who's a congresswoman from Minnesota, yeah. I believe. And, personally, I think she's fabulous, and she's really doing a great job of, like, calling out things that are... deserving to be called out. Mm-hmm. But recently at a Republican rally or Republican Day in Charleston, there was a poster of her at the top. It's the picture of the Twin Towers, and it's a picture of her below the bottom saying, "Never forget, you said, I am the proof you have forgotten," with a picture of her face, her wearing the hijab in Congress. And I'm just like, I cannot believe that...
I want to cry right now. I genuinely want to cry.
And so all this outcry that... And I think it's just very... Like, this is the most Islamophobic thing I've seen today. I won't say ever because, who knows, life is shitty. But she was raked over the coals a couple weeks ago because she criticized IPEC, I believe it's called, which is a Israel mm-hmm. lobby group within the States. And so she said... was basically saying how the U.S. has no business being so involved in Israeli politics or Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And she said it's all about those Benjamins, baby, which is why they're supporting it, which a lot of people slammed her for being anti-Semitic and
y'all know
promoting.
She didn't mean it like that.
It's like, fam, she's talking about the money. These people do not care what's happening overseas. They care about the money flowing into their wallets. So just this, I think because, in my opinion... I don't think she intended to be anti-Semitic, and she addressed the issue saying, "Anti-Semitism is real, and I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes, such as referencing the Benjamins baby.
Yeah.
My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize." At the same time, she doesn't just bow down and accept it, which is, I like that. Mm-hmm. "At the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be IPAC, the NRA, or the fossil fuel industry. It's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it." And so I think everything, all the press she's getting, mm-hmm. is just one giant Islamophobic mess.
When she speaks for herself, she speaks for herself beautifully, but I feel like she is constantly twisted. I feel like women of color are constantly twisted to seem aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And it's disgusting to me that such a blatant, like, referencing 9/11 to a congresswoman just makes no fucking sense. Excuse my French, but I don't apologize for yelling. But it's... And the fact that there's not, like, a humongous outpour of disgust over this just really, I think, speaks to how this woman is being seen and being treated by, like, I don't want to say Republicans in general, but the fact that it was at a Republican party and more Republicans are speaking out about this mm-hmm. is pretty alarming. I think AOC said something about it because she's also great, and
good
Rashida
sis.
Tlaib. So I just think it's pretty disgusting, honestly.
I have some other tweets from Omar, and she says, and this was, she actually posted this 3 days ago, But I am told every day that I am anti-American if I'm not pro-Israel. I find that to be problematic, and I'm not alone. I just happen to be willing to speak up on it and open myself to attacks. Because a lot of, like, the oil money, as we've, I don't know if we discussed that. Yeah, we discussed that today.
She referenced that. So
yeah, she did. My Americanness is questioned by the president and the GOP on a daily basis, yet my colleagues remain silent. I know what it means to be American, and no one will ever tell me otherwise.
I think, if anything, she's more American than everyone else because, you know, this whole, like, liberty thing you all talk about, she's using her voice to speak about issues that nobody else is talking about. Mm-hmm. And I really agree. I don't know why. Like, I think you speaking out against Israel or speaking out against this or that or whatever does not make you any less of a person who has citizenship to an arbitrary geographic location. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And I think, mm-hmm. I think she's just getting treated so much worse because she's a woman of color and of a, like, mm-hmm. religious minority in that. It's this just, area of the world. So it's just so, I mean, it's refreshing to see her there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she's continuing to speak up for what she believes in, despite the fact that it's a great personal challenge for her, I can imagine. So
yeah,
not that we have a whole lot of say in American politics, but
yeah,
we got you, sis.
We do. And, like, from my knowledge, like, I mean, I've listen to the soundtrack of Hamilton enough time to understand that, like, America was formed because they were trying to, like, gain independence from, like, an oppressive government that wasn't serving what they needed. Or, like, and, like, I mean, these are, like, people that lived on the land. There are so many people of color and, like, people of, like, so many, like, LGBTQ, like, religious minorities, so many different marginalized people living on the land that are looking for an America that suits what they want. Like, America was formed on the idea of, like, the pursuit of happiness and, mm-hmm. like, getting what you want. And that's what people are trying to do in a way that's, like, peaceful and allows for other people to thrive. Like, just because you're not the same, like, on the same team doesn't mean you can't play in the same league and, like, get along.
Exactly.
Well, they claim to be, like, the land of the free, but they're still fighting so hard to be free to be themselves. And, like, it's so a point where the people, like, you're supposed to be land of the free and that you can mm-hmm. say things and be yourself, but every time somebody is their self, they get,
they're like, whoa, not like that.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we meant, like, in our way.
Yeah.
You can be land of our freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
You're free to act exactly like us and nothing else.
And yeah, I feel like we need more people that are brave enough to speak up like her, because it is so important to voice your own opinion, because if you don't, like, nobody else is. Mm-hmm. So if you have the issue, if you start the talk, somebody else is going to be on your side. It's like that thing in the classroom where it's like, if you're quite, like, if you have trouble with it, mm-hmm. chances are someone in the classroom does too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Speak up.
Yeah. And I mean,
back to kindergarten.
Yeah. I like that she acknowledges that people are going to shit on her, so she's like, I'm going to say my piece. Because if you're going to just be racist and Islamophobic to me anyway, I might as well make some valid points. And I really...
Yeah.
Also, okay, this is, like, slightly off topic, but also on topic. I saw this tweet. I know this comes up every week where I saw a tweet. But that was criticizing AOC for taking a van, a minivan, home from a parade. Because they're like, you're so close to the subway, that's not good for the environment. And she's like, bruh. She's like, first of all, my tea is offended that you chirped her van, and second of all, but I just think these young women who are really posing a threat to the norms and antiquated nature of American politics, I think people are starting to quake, and so they're lashing out harshly against them.
Scared of change, aren't ya?
But they will not lose. They're too young to be too tired for this, so...
Yeah.
I'm very proud of them.
Yeah. Me too. I hope they all know that they've got people supporting them behind their back, because, like, they really speak words for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched this video of this, like, girl that, like, walked up to AOC on the street and, like, gave her a hug and was like, girl, you are amazing. You're the shit. Like, just, like, holding her and being like, I love you so much. And, like, I feel like that, like, that's how I feel about people that are, like, I feel like that about politicians that we have here, like, a couple weeks ago, back to Laura May Lindo, like, when I saw her speak, I was literally like, I am so happy that your voice is being heard, because what you're saying makes sense to me, and what you're saying is important to me. And it's like, mm-hmm. when you hear, like, I don't agree with everything that all politicians say, but, like, I'm so grateful that they are speaking up for something that is going to benefit people that aren't in the dominant. So, I don't know.
It seems like a pretty thankless job, so the people who are doing it right and doing a good job, I salute you. That's really so impressive, honestly. Mm-hmm. I get, like, one side comment and I'm floored for years, so, like, I can only imagine having to deal with that kind of lifestyle.
As people, especially as women, we are conditioned to be likable. Like, that's what society shapes us to be, is, like, if we're too loud, we're bossy. If we're too, like, if we want to show more, like, if we're too confident in our bodies, we're whores. Like, there's just, like, we're taught to just be polite. And I heard a radio DJ talk about this earlier in regards to bullying, but, like, she said that, like, we should do our children a favor and teach them, and that it's okay to not have everyone like them. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, these, like, politicians have really gotten a hold of that idea that, like, it's okay for not everyone to like you. And I think that's something that I wrestle with a lot, and I feel like it's something most people wrestle with a lot, but I think it's a really, I hope that someday that's something I can instill in, like, if I ever have children or, like, my friends' kids, that, like, not everyone has to like you, because those are the people that can make a lot of change for good or for bad, like, but
if everyone likes you, you're probably not spurring a movement or something.
No, and if you're catering to other people's needs, like, those aren't your true friends. Like, your true friends will love you for who you are, so you need to cater to yourself and the things that you believe in and you want to do, and not worry about that backlash.
Yeah.
Because there's somebody that's going to believe in you for doing you.
Preach!
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, peeps. Should we...
Yeah, do you want to bop some tunes?
Yeah. We have a really lovely tune, in my opinion, for you. We have Kalani Footsteps with Music Soul Child. Enjoy.
It slaps. Hi, welcome back. We dropped everything that we possibly could drop during that break.
We might sound composed now, but we had a little, just right, like just seconds ago.
Screaming. Talking about screaming, some things that make me want to scream is how much I find myself talking about the Kardashians.
Me too.
Oh my God.
So let's talk about this.
To be fair, we are here to talk about the Kardashians in terms of their treatment of Jordan Woods.
Yeah, treat other women with respect, even sometimes it's hard.
So, I feel like introducing this will be redundant because we're all peasants and we care about these fools, but...
Why? I don't know.
Do. Anyways, so, I watched the Red Table Talk interview, so I got all the deets right up in my mind. So,
get it.
Jordan was out drinking, went to a house party with her friends. This is her side of the story, but frankly, I believe it. Anyways, so, the house they all ended up at was Tristan Thompson's, who, as you may know... is Khloe Kardashian's baby daddy, and I'm not really sure if they were dating at this point or not. I don't really care, but as she was leaving, he kissed her on the mouth.
Oh, a mouth kiss.
Yeah. Ooh. She said they did not make out. They did not sleep together. There's no lap dance, as there were rumors of this, and so...
And it's funny how Khloe's story about Jordan really quickly switched around on social media.
Once everyone's like, girl, frick off. Stop demonizing this woman. When it's your man who can't control himself, so...
Yeah, also, she's so young. Like, I know she's, like, a year younger than us. Like, 4 years older than you. Sorry, Jamie. I'm gonna reuse that joke. Reduce, reuse, recycle. It's zero waste week at Laurier, if you're wondering. That's why I'm reusing jokes. But I found... My friend sent me this post from Instagram, I believe it is, because I was kind of, like, on the side where I was like, maybe we shouldn't be as mean to Jordan because she's a very young girl and, like, this is an older man who's showing interest in her and, like, maybe, she said she was intoxicated. This was before the Red Table Talk. Now that that's come out, everyone's like, y'all need to chill, or, like, yeah, that was wrong. But this might change your perspective if you are more on the side of crucifying Jordan. So it's from Relationship Goals Universe. It says... feel like I'm about to read some spoken word poetry because it's about to clap. Okay. You mean to tell me that Jordan Woods hooked up with Tristan Thompson while he was with Khloe Kardashian, like Kylie Jenner hooked up with Tyga, who was with Blac Chyna, and Travis Scott, who was with Justine, and like Kim Kardashian hooked up with Kanye, who was with Amber Rose, and how Khloe hooked up with Tristan, who was with Jordy, and hooked up with Lamar, who was still engaged to his high school sweetheart? Yeah, speechless. LOL. Or is it maybe because she's Kylie's BFF? Oh, but Blac Chyna was Kim's BFF when Kylie hooked up with her man. So, I mean, is there any problem?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh.
I don't know if, I don't think Kanye and Amber Rose were together. I'm just in case anyone's like trying to debunk that one. I don't know if that was true, but I do believe a lot of those.
A lot of those I think are probably confirmed on the show even because these people are messy and they market that honestly.
Yep.
But
like what's their talent?
Being
Kris Jenner's daughter. That's not a talent. That's just a birthright, I guess, but
I can be a mom.
She is the only one.
Y'all are gonna be on my
She's team. The only one I have respect for at this time. Because I'm like, she is making lots of somethings out of nothing, so.
The most important Kardashian-related thing ever is the Kardashian Rusical from season 9 RuPaul's Drag Race. Give it a listen. Give it a look. It's worth it.
It's so good.
But, I don't know. How do you feel? Jamie, how do you feel about the Kardashian Jordan Woods sitch?
So, personally for me, I have tried my whole life to stay out of that Kardashian mess because I really don't want to waste my time on that.
That's fair.
Because I am very much, stop making stupid people famous.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we have more people that, like, want to do something rather than stir the pot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need more Gia Guns on TV.
Oh!
Stir.
RuPaul's Drag Race drag!
The drag from Drag Race.
But, like, personally, like you said, like, that's what they kind of make their mark on, so I guess I understand why they're blowing it out of proportion. It's to stay relevant and keep their names in the headlines.
Yeah.
So I see it from that perspective. It's probably like, do they really want to make this drama, or do they want their name out there? Because look how many people are talking about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just think, personally, like, based on what Jordan said, and she's, like, willing to take a lie detector and all this, so that suggests to me that she's not trying to fuck with any of us here.
Yeah, she ain't
but
playing she's around.
Cool her family like her. Isn't can't leave their house because they, like, what does her family have to do with her, first of all, in this situation? And I think the Kardashians have this way of acting like they're all cool and buddy-buddy with black women, but then, like, taking things from them in terms of, like,
yeah,
like, taking the fashion things that black women made popular and claiming them as their own. They, I'm so choked up. I'm so mad. But they, like, read Jordan for filth. Like, for what happened versus the reaction to what happened is
ridiculous.
So insane. Like,
And also, like, for me, as a black woman, seeing the Kardashians, it's like, I just... Yeah, they steal so much from black culture. And I understand, like, my mother is a white woman. My father is a black man. I am the product of an interracial relationship. But I feel like they're the type of woman that are like, I love, like, my mixed relationship. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they skew things in their brain. But it's like, you are a part of this. Yes, your children might be part black. But, like, your treatment of black culture and the way that you've taken from that and not given back very much at all, at all, is not okay. And, like, the way that they treat women of color, like, it's kind of disposable. Like, I know that some of their best friends are, like, women of color, but, like, the overarching treatment, you're exactly right. And, like, I'm not here for it. They really remind me of, like, I feel fetishized. Though I feel the way they interact with black culture is fetishizing, and I don't like it. So get out of my face, Kardashians. Bye.
I like sharing cultures, but you have to give credit where it's due so that people aren't praising you. They can praise and understand where the ideas came from.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone's got their own ideas and kind of make stuff their own. At least give them the credit.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously share it. Like, it's not... It's mine. Don't touch it. It's like,
yeah.
Share it so that everyone can understand and, like, appreciate what you've done throughout history.
Yeah. Don't just, like, appropriate and then also
disrespect. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But, you know.
The next question is the guy getting any of this backlash, or is it that's all her? What I'm like, that's always my about. Main thing. Is like, it takes two to tango. She's not, like, mind controlling him to do this. Like, he's the one that knows he's, like, in a relationship, or he's the one that does it. And I find girls attack girls before they go to their man is like, hey, why you do this?
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, Jordan doesn't have a child with anyone. She might be Stormy's aunt. She might be Kylie's best friend. She did not plant her seed inside of a Kardashian, grow a sweet little baby, and then act foolish. That's not her. Like, she did not attach her life to a Kardashian's life. Like, she had, like, a ceremony with Kylie. Why do I know this? Why do I know this? But, like, she, like, they've committed as friends, but, like, she didn't put her dick in her. You know? Like, I'm
also,
sorry.
Also, it's like, he has a history of doing this. I don't know. This should just be proof that he's a shitbag. Like, if he's even willing to go for your close personal friends.
Then maybe you should be with him. Like, I don't think he's your boy if he's willing to do this. And, like, the girls have nothing to do with it. Like, at the end of the day, he can be like, oh, we're not together. And then, like, fair is fair. He's the one that knows his situation, and he's the one that needs to make it verbal.
Moral
and
of
not
the story?
Just in the Kardashian sense of the world. Like, everyone.
And Jordan said, I know I'm the reason, I'm not the reason Tristan and Chloe aren't together. So she's an insider, so she knows that there's more than just her, like, role in this chaos, so.
And, I mean, yeah, moral of the story, Tristan Thompson is giving Brampton Mans a bad name.
Word.
So, we've got a couple minutes left here, and we would love to ask you some questions about yourself, because you've sat with us and chatted for the hour, and
gave you all my opinion. You might want to know a bit about me. Fair is fair.
Yeah, so.
I guess just first, tell us about yourself. What do you like to do? What do you do for fun?
How do you keep busy?
What are you passionate about?
Future
What's
plans?
Your future?
What inspires you? We're asking all of our questions.
Just right, like, off the bat. Like,
hella at a time.
Tell us literally everything.
For me, like, I don't know. I'm pretty simple. Like, I keep myself busy with school and friends and trying to keep the, you know, normal balance of a student life. I really enjoy reading and writing. And what really inspires me is trying to be a better person. Like, I feel like you should never be content with yourself. Like, there's always a way to improve and, like, bring people up with you.
Yeah.
And, like, so I'm just trying to spread that positivity while being very realistic.
You're a little sunbeam. I agree.
We call her the sunshine goth or something like this.
Something where it's, like, gothic but, like, positive at the same
time.
She
loves gothic stuff, but is
if you look at me, you might run, but, like, I'm really nice, so.
You've got great style. I feel like I love your hair. Your bangs look amazing. You always have cool outfits, and your nails are always done.
My nails are did.
Effort. Done today.
Yeah, we all got our nails done today, but not, I wasn't with anyone else. It just so happened.
It just, you know, transpired. We were all on the same wavelength.
Describe your manicure in 5 seconds.
Makes me look like I went to Cuba when I didn't.
The warm weather I wish was here.
Very basic. Nude, nude, nude. That was my manicure.
It looks dope, though. Don't be fooled by.
Good.
Don't be fooled by her
description.
Banal description. It's very.
Love that. Okay, so we like to play a little game here on our show called 36 Questions That Lead to Love. So what we do is we have 36 questions we choose from. We get you to pick a random number between 1 and 36. We're going to get you to ask us two questions, or give us two numbers. So first give us a number, then you'll answer it, then we'll get you to give us another number, and we'll answer it. They do get more serious as they go on, so I'd say if you're trying to keep it, like, light and breezy for the first one, I'd stay within the first 12 numbers.
Probably go for my favorite number first and go big or go home.
23. 23, wow.
Ask how many bottles. I say 23. Oh, James, this is a good one.
Yes.
How close and warm is your family? Do you feel your childhood was happier than most other people's?
Oh, my God. Okay, so my childhood and, like, my family relationship has, like, it's really important. Like, we're all very, very close.
Aww.
Like, even, so my mom's side, they're very much spread out throughout the globe. But they still find a way to stay in touch with each other. So they still kind of maintain that closeness, even though, like, we never see each other. And then there's my dad's side, who I swear to God, the furthest relative is like a 10-minute drive. Oh my gosh. They all stayed in the same area. That's so cute. Like, we get together multiple times a year. Like, I can reach out to my cousin, and it's like, we just spoke to each other. Like, we're always in constant communications. So, like, family's really important to me, because, like, we've always been close. And I do consider your mind happier, because, like, I know not a lot of people have that closeness that I do. So I super appreciate that my family was able to, like, keep that connectedness and share that with me. So then if I ever have a family, I can have that closeness and have them know their family the way I know mine.
Aww. That's so cute. Yeah. I love that. That's so wonderful. Okay. Pick another number between 1 and 36.
Let's go. My last basketball number, number 12.
Number 12.
How I pick numbers is real fun, isn't it?
Ooh, this is a fun one.
If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Probably telepathy. I really like to know what's going on in, like, other people's minds and, like, see their aspects and the fact that, like, you never really know somebody else's story. So, like, the way they, like, come across and say something, you can take one way and they can absolutely not mean it. So I feel like telepathy would give me that ability to, like, understand people better.
Yeah.
And I'm always eavesdropping, even if I don't mean to.
I am the nosiest bitch.
I understand. I do not mean to, but the, like, random stuff I hear, I'm like, I did not mean to eavesdrop. I'm sorry, but that made my whole day.
Oh, I feel like I'm the opposite. Like, people could be, like, waving, like, a lighter in front of my face, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't notice. Like, I'm, like, sorry, either, like, so nosy or so out of it. Okay, well, I'm thinking that we like to end off our shows usually with, like, words you live by, motto, advice, something that you're, like, resolving to do. Is that the right word?
Yeah, like a resolution.
Yeah.
It was a New Year's resolution for a while, but we realized that's bogus. Or what are you giving up for Lent? Or, like,
yeah, it's Ash Wednesday.
Woo!
I'm Ash. It's Wednesday. I'm here.
I'll probably just end the show with, like, the main thing I want to go with is, like, always be yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, don't be afraid to go out and do the, like, random shit that you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's always, like, my New Year's resolution is to be more out there. Because, like, I can say it till I'm blue in the face, but I know that, like, when I'm presented that, I'm like, but will they think I'm weird? And now I've just embraced my weirdness. And
now I'm like, I'm fucked up, and y'all need to know.
I'm who I am, and you love me or you don't.
Yeah.
If you don't, I don't need you, do I?
Getting older is kind of liberating because you start to realize that you don't give a shit about anybody.
Well, and it's like, and I think about all those people that I tried to please when I was younger because I wanted them to be my friend, and then I never spoke to them.
Yeah. Not that I don't care about people, but I just don't care what they think.
Yeah, it's like, okay. I want you to like me for who I am.
I'll be nice to you and be polite, obviously. Like, you want to be kind to your fellow people. Like, obviously, don't go out and be like, I don't like you. But always be nice and positive. But, like, if they're going to hate on you for being you, like, don't change who you are. That says more about them than it says about you.
Yeah.
Karen? I agree. I'm going to use my moment for a shameless plug. Tomorrow in the concourse, we're having ISO / the Global Studies Students Association day. So there'll be some NGOs there who will talk about what they're doing. Yeah. There's a $2 shawarma lunch, so you get shawarma, some salad.
Oh, I'll be there.
Oh my goodness. Stuff. What time? I mean, like, genuinely, what time? Tell me,
it's
I'll be there.
It's all day in the concourse, but I think the lunch starts at 11 or 11:30.
Okay.
I can confirm that, and we can tweet it out once I check the Facebook page again.
Yes.
But it'll be really great. There will be a lot going on. And, of course, $2 lunch. That's unbeatable, in my opinion.
That's unreal.
So get there while it's hot.
I will be there. My thing I'd like to share, I started following this, or I subscribe to this newsletter that comes out every day. It's called The Good Trade. I highly recommend it. It's a lot about, like, kind of, like, eco-conscious feminism. And so March 4th. So not yesterday, but the other day. The affirmation of the day was, we do not have to pretend to be anything other than who we are. Sometimes it's worth the reminder that in this very moment, we are perfectly composed of light and love. And
I feel like
that really tied in with what you said, Jamie. So I thought I'd pull that up.
I feel dumb for plugging instead of
$2
shawarma is inspiring.
If you're not inspired by that, get out.
I want shawarma. I'm going to go get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited.
You've inspired all of us to be more involved and to enjoy the light and love that is a hot shawarma.
Get shawarma for a cause.
Well, that does round off today. Thank you so much for joining us, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm DJ Ash Jeffs.
And I'm DJ Tito.
And that was the Happy Hour Report.
See you next week, everyone.